Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Dr. Alex Avila, clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And this is Love University. Welcome back. You know, we're very close to summer session. Time is going by really fast. And every week we have a different topic on love, relationships, self-esteem, loving yourself, others, and higher nature. And today I'm very pleased to talk about something that I think will change a lot of lives if we really apply these techniques today. And the topic is fail your way to greatness. Your extraordinary path to success. Now, this is a very paradoxical and it seems almost like counterintuitive. You know, many times people, when you think about failure, you think of not doing what you need to do, something's not working, or having weakness. But today we're going to redefine failure in a different way. We're going to talk about failure as a way to transform pain into power, to raise your excellence and use it as a stepping stone to success. So it's going to be a whole switch of mindset. And whether it's in your job or, you know, maybe you lost your job and now you're saying, well, I want to do something different. I want a career that's going to fulfill me, a profession or even a business. Or maybe your relationship isn't working out. You might need to change the way you look at that. Or your lifestyle choices, the way you exercise or diet or things about your life that you want to change. Many times you change it because of what we call so-called failure, something that didn't work out, a defeat, an adversity. So we're going to talk about that. And we often know that there are people that have had great so-called failures that have been very successful. Walt Disney, the founder of Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Pictures, when he was younger, a newspaper editor told him, "You have no imagination and no creativity." Imagine, you know, Walt Disney, you know, one of our greatest creators in history, hearing that. Einstein, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, didn't speak until he was 4 years of age, and people thought he was mentally handicapped, and he turned out to be an amazing genius. One of our greatest authors, J.K. Rowling, of the Harry Potter series, I know a lot of people love the series, and she sold millions of books, was a single mom on welfare, basically couldn't make ends meet, and then she became an author, overcame a lot of those obstacles. And it's not just famous people, but, you know, regular folks that overcome, you know, physical illnesses, single moms or dads that raise a child by themselves, that help other people, that contribute to humanity. There are many stories like this of people that have overcome great obstacles. I work a lot with people that have been through domestic violence, traumas. Their children have even been killed in gang warfare. And many times they can, you know, use some of these horrible things to be better in life, to learn and to grow and to help. Now, research shows, this is really interesting, that there is not much differentiation between greatness and failure, success and failure. It's a small gap. In fact, people that succeed and fail often have the same percentages of success and failure, whether it's 50% or 70%. Sometimes in scientific experiments, 70% of the time they fail. They don't find the right discovery. The difference, however, between the successful and those that fail is that the successful people keep trying. You know, they keep putting more attempts out there. They don't stop. They don't quit. They persevere. It was said that Edison invented the light bulb after over 1,000 failures in experiments. However, he didn't say it was a failure. He said, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. It took me 1,000 steps to invent the light bulb." So he saw each one of these non-successes, as we can call them, as a stepping stone toward the success. And many times, it's better to do something imperfectly than to do it perfectly and not do it at all, because sometimes people don't even try. You know, they want to do it perfectly and they don't put the effort. And even today, there's a trend for business people and investors to invest in business people who have gone through successes and maybe a couple of failures. Maybe they learned from a mistake they made in the past in their business. And the more mature, the more seasoned. They know what it's like to have lost and also to use that as gain. Now, when we talk about failure, you know, it is a negative connotation. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to fail. You know, I don't want to be rejected or go through pain. And people have certain reactions to failure that can be maybe limiting or negative. One thing that people often do is to avoid failure. They play it safe. You might want to talk to an attractive person over there, but you don't do it because you're afraid of rejection. So, you know, you don't meet that person that you want to meet. Or maybe you want to start that new business, but you see that a lot of businesses fail. And you don't want to be one of those statistics. So you stay in your cozy job or comfortable situation or even a relationship that's not working out. You know, you can, you know, improve it or maybe find a better relationship, but you're so scared to try. You don't want to fail, or you're afraid of what people will think, your family members. Well, there you go again. You're gonna fail again. Another thing that we do that's also not very helpful is we say to ourselves, "I can't do it. I can't start that new invention or the new business or go back to school in my later years, or go to the school I want to when I'm younger. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough, smart enough, good enough. And in psychology, there's something called learned helplessness. They do experiments with rats, and the rats go looking for food in a maze, and they press a little lever to get the pellet. But some of the rats are given electric shocks before they get the food. And even only one shock is enough for the rat to give up even searching for food, even though there are no more shocks. The rat goes belly up, and it's almost as if they learn to be helpless. In the same way, humans have the same issue. When they go through one, maybe a bad relationship or marriage, they say, oh, I'm not going to give up on that. I don't want to go forward. Or they fail in business or the career choice. So that's a very dangerous thing, is to learn to be helpless because of this so-called failure. Another negative way of looking at failure is to say I'm bad or have shame or guilt or regret. And I call this the quicksand of negativity or weakness. Let's say you have an addiction or bad habit. Maybe it's smoking, drinking, or drugs. And you try to quit. You're doing fine. But then you fall back. You have a relapse. And now you say, well, I blew it. I'm a loser. I can't do this. Or maybe you're on a diet and you see that little delicious cake in the refrigerator. And you take a little bite. And then you say, oh, no, I blew my diet. I might as well just have the rest of the cake. I'm going to eat the whole thing. So as a result, you feel weaker. You feel inferior. And that drives you to continue doing the bad action or the bad habit. So it's like you get into a little quicksand. It's hard to get out. Another thing that people do with the idea of failure or fear of failure, and this is what drives a lot of people, is to avoid failure, is what we call self-sabotage. They actually end up unconsciously hurting themselves to explain their failure or their future failure. For example, let's say someone in school hates calculus or some class, math class. They might go out and have a lot of drinks the night before and end up hungover the morning and get an F on the test. And then they say, well, I was hungover. You know, that's why I got an F. So it's a rationalization in psychology. It's a reason that we give. And many times it's an excuse for failing because we don't want to face the idea that we can fail. It's like we're setting ourselves up for failure. And that can be a negative thing. So those are really what we call wrong reactions to failure. Let's talk a little bit about how to use failure rightly, how to use failure to accelerate your success, because failure can be a way to really have you be more successful. The first thing we need to look at is what we call learning the gaps. What is the gap between you and where you want to be? Between the way you are now and the way you could be in the future? Maybe there were some mistakes you made. You can accurately look at that and things you can fix. And it gives you a lesson. You know, I'm not going to pick that kind of incompatible partner or that abusive partner in a relationship again. I'm going to get into a certain kind of business that I enjoy. Maybe the one I was with in before was just making money, but I have some other passion. Maybe it's an artistic creation. Maybe I really want to be a great chef or a baker, or I want to be a painter. And that's the kind of business I want to do related to my artistic nature. So basically you learn what you need to do, you know, the ways to correct it. The other thing that failure can do in a positive way is a motivation check, or to really tell you, how motivated am I? How badly do I want this? If I failed in a relationship, do I want a great relationship? If I failed in a certain business, do I want to have a great business? Or whether it's diet or exercise, I want to lose weight. You know, do I really want this? Do I really want to look better and feel better? So it really kind of encourages you to say, yes, I do want this. So you build up what's called resilience, the ability to overcome obstacles, perseverance, persistence. These are very important things. Whether you want to be a great parent, a great spouse, whatever it is that you want to be good at, a friend, a teacher, a creator, scientist, business person, whatever it is that you really want to do, realize that this is your passion, right? And you're motivated by it despite the failures. And the failures just give you more encouragement, more fuel. This one is one of my favorites. This next idea is that each non-success, and again, failure can be defined as a non-success because you haven't got there yet, leads you to the success. So think about that. Every time you don't succeed, or what we call failure in a certain situation, whether it's your personal life, career, or lifestyle, you're coming closer to that success in the future if you learn from it, if you apply the lessons. One of my favorite guests on the show a couple months ago is Wendy Newman. Wendy Newman is a relationship coach and author. And she had a very amazing story. She said that she went on 121 first dates before she met her husband, the love of her life. Can you imagine going on 121 first dates every week? That would take you over 2 years. That's an amazing thing. But she did it. She didn't give up. She kept trying. She kept putting herself out there. And there's a beautiful song. I'm sure you've heard the song. It's called Bless the Broken Road, Rascal Flatts. And the lyrics are like this. Every lost dream leads me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me my way back to your loving arms. So think about that. Every bad relationship you have, every broken heart, if you learn from that and keep moving forward, you can eventually find your ideal partner and soulmate. Or if you're in a marriage, you can make it better. You can learn from the mistakes you've already made, where there's better communication, better openness and trust. So that's a beautiful idea and very powerful, that these things that are painful can be stepping stones to your success. The other thing that this so-called failure can do for you is that you can develop an immunity to fear, because many times it's the fear that stops us, you know, the fear of failure. But you realize, I can, you know, overcome this. I can survive. So maybe you did get a divorce. It was very painful, but you survived through it. You know, you still, your dogs still love you. Your kids still love you. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You know, you're still who you are. And, you know, you might want to find love again, or a business may have even gone bankrupt, but you survived. You might have a roof over your head. You know, you have people in your life that love you, and you still have a dream for it. So it gives you that feeling that, yes, you know, I went through this. I can you know, go on. I can continue and eventually achieve my goal. And finally, failure sweetens success. It makes it even sweeter when you finally get to that point where, you know, you write your best-selling novel, or you're on television, or you make an amazing amount of successful things for other people, help people, a charity, a nonprofit, whatever it is that you want to do, you reach that goal, a crusade, a cause or mission, you feel wonderful about it. And they often say that success is the best revenge. Do you have haters out there right now that are trying to pull you down, people that are negative and critical, even your own family members or friends, that you can never do that, and it's too risky, don't try that, you know, that business idea, don't, you know, leave that cozy job or that relationship. But what if you do succeed? What if you end up having an even much better relationship or career or business or lifestyle that makes you happy? You will say, you know, with compassion, you know, I understand how you feel, but I am so happy doing what I'm doing, right? So success, I don't need to get revenge on you. I don't need to attack you, even though you did to me. I just feel happy within myself. Now let's get into some of the nuts and bolts. So we see that this thing called failure, this thing of non-success, can actually, you know, spur us on. It can actually encourage us to succeed. So let's talk about some practical ways to do it, to use failure as a success accelerator, to accelerate our success, to speed it up. Number one, we need to learn how to accept temporary defeat, because there are times when we have to say, you know, this is not working out. This diet doesn't work out, even this this exercise program. I need to try something different. Or in my relationship, you know, we're not happy together for some reason. We need to maybe go to marriage counseling or find out ways to communicate better, do something better. Or the business I'm working on, or the career, it just doesn't fit at an early stage. We know that students in college can change their majors, and some of them do. Or maybe you work in a job for a couple of years and you realize, I can't stand this. You know, I want to do something else. That's the time to say it didn't work out. So accept that temporary loss. You know, it is disappointing, it's frustrating. You put energy and time into something, but there's something much better for you out there. That's the idea, that every closed door leads to a new open door that can be even better. It's like being on a game show, you know, like behind the different doors, there's some prizes. So maybe the first door had a booby trap, and the second door had a little bit of a prize, but that third door, the one you open maybe the third time, could have that beautiful thing you want. You know, the brand new luxury car or vacation trip or whatever it is that they have behind the door, or a happy life, which is even the best. Something else is to avoid the blame game. Now, we often get into that. When we fail, we either blame other people or life or higher power. We often blame ourselves. Now, of course, we can take responsibility if we make a mistake and learn from it, but we need to avoid the blame game. We just say, you know, things didn't work out for whatever reason. Maybe it was by chance, or maybe it was meant to be. But I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to improve on this. And there's actually a very interesting trend in certain companies that deal with science, is to have what they call failure parties. They actually celebrate certain failures in scientific experiments because they know that 70% of experiments don't lead to success. The advantage is that every non-success tells you where you need to go next, you know, where you need to redirect your resources. So it's actually a benefit to fail temporarily. So you might have a little champagne, a little wine, a little cheese and crackers and say, okay, I know the wrong way to go. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go the right way now. So it can be almost a time to rejoice. You're moving toward the right direction. And one way to do this in your personal life is to study successful failures, people who have overcome a lot of obstacles. One of the most successful failures is Abraham Lincoln. You may have studied about him in history books, who failed in politics many times. He was defeated. He failed in business. He even had a nervous breakdown, but he became one of our greatest presidents during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln. And there are many tales like that, you know, modern tales, even people that you know. Maybe there's a family member, a relative who overcame alcoholism, drug addiction, abuse, and they've actually done great things in their life, and they're happy and successful. So you can learn from these role models or mentors. The other thing that you want to do, and this is an important idea, is to separate your identity from this so-called failure. Many times people become depressed and sad. Oh, I screwed up again. I messed up in this relationship, in this business, in this choice I made. I made the wrong choice. Or in the friend, my friend backstabbed me. I can't believe it. The key is to remember that you are not your mistakes. You are not your failures. In the book I'm writing now, it's called The Invincible You. I talk about something called the invincible mind. The invincible mind is a part of you that is valuable and confident and powerful despite the circumstances, despite what happens to you externally. So you may fail at something. Maybe you fail at a class. Maybe you fail in a relationship. You fail in controlling your temper sometimes. But you realize that there's something in you that's stronger than that, that's more powerful, that's beautiful, and that's more loving. And that is a part of you you want to focus on, this invincible part of you, this invincible mind. In the East, we have the term called equanimity, which means calmness of mind, even tempered. So not getting too high or too low when things happen to you, neither too depressed or too excited. Maintain that even keel. Now, you're going to have your passions and your excitements, but when you're able to realize that is not who you are inside, your true self is different from things that happen to you, you can maintain that sense of serenity and peace and love despite what happens to you. Maybe, you know, you have a health crisis or someone in your family suffers from something or even dies. You can realize, well, there's something higher that I can call on, whether it's a spiritual belief or a belief in love. The other thing that's important, and this is what I talk about a lot in the new book, Invincible You, is to transform pain into power or failure to success. And taking that lesson that we learned that, you know, whatever it was from that so-called error or mistake or failure, and applying it to something new, to a new path that's going to bring us to success. So the first thing is we need to analyze failure. You know, you might even have a little failure journal, you know, a notebook that you write down, things that didn't work out in your life, whether it's relationships or pastimes or business or career. And why did it fail? And you might even take some responsibility. You know, I didn't do this the right way, but I'm going to change and do this differently. You know, many of our great comedians and comic writers take their own pain from the past and make it into humor and fun. You know, maybe they had abusive situations growing up and loneliness and despair. But they can turn it around. They can twist it and give us perspective and make us laugh and give us a little bit of joy. Many of our self-help authors and speakers have a pain from their past that they use to become and help other people better. I mentioned that I was lonely and introvert and shy when I was younger. I developed communication skills and other attributes where I started to basically help other people that were the same way, introvert people, gain confidence and have good relationships. And this happens a lot, where people that have gone through pain, whether they're pastors or teachers or psychologists, you know, can actually have a stronger platform. They can have a stronger mission statement because they know what it feels like and they can help others as well. And part of that, transforming pain into power, is seeing the positive in the so-called failure or disappointment or setback. You know, I'm almost up to my first year, a one-year anniversary of our podcast. We're very excited about that. We started in June of last year. And I started with a good friend of mine, a radio personality named Ignacio Nachin Sandoval, who's very famous and well-known in the Latino community as a radio personality. We had great chemistry. The show was going great. But one day, Nachin told me, you know, Dr. Avila, I love the show, what we're doing, but I've fallen in love with my fiance. We're getting married. We're expecting a baby. And I got to redirect my attention to other things where I can have more security for my family. So I'm not going to continue with the show. I was disappointed at first and a little bit, you know, wondering what's going to happen. I wished him well, and, you know, he's doing great right now. But I realized maybe this is something new, a new door. And as a result, I've been doing this on my own. Last 4 months, our ratings have been skyrocketing. People are responding. Reggie, you're laughing about this. You know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Reggie, my producer here, has been a great part of our show. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to, I have some interns that are really wonderful, college students that actually do some of the research for the show. They come up with great ideas. So I want to give you a little bit of applause and feedback that you guys are doing a great job for us. And as a result, you know, being able to talk about my philosophy and the way I can help people has really been a great benefit, I think, to a lot of people, and I feel it myself. So this so-called disappointment of, you know, losing my partner has actually helped our show expand and do very well. So you should do the same. You know, write three things that you're happy about or that you learned from a so-called failure. You know, what are the three good things? I learned, well, I need to be more patient. I need to be more aware of myself, you know, maybe when I get into certain situations or relationships. I need to believe in myself that I can do this thing I want to do, whether it's to be a singer, an actor, a teacher, a business person, a scientist, or even being a great parent. Being a great spouse takes effort, takes talent and time. So I've learned maybe from my mistakes. You know, sometimes you're your first child, you make some mistakes, but maybe the second one, the third one, you know, you might be learning that. So you do a little bit better down the line. And the other thing is, focus on progress instead of just the goals. Many times we get so focused on the goals, like I wanna, you know, write this great book, or I wanna make $1 million in business, that we sometimes get frustrated and disappointed. But you need to enjoy the journey along the way. If you wanna go to 100 countries in your lifetime, but you can't afford it, you say, well, let me just start with going around my neighborhood, you know, or going around somewhere nearby and exploring that, or taking a bus pass or train or subway, whatever you are in the world, to see more things. And gradually you start to feel better about, hey, I'm really accomplishing this dream of mine to see a lot of countries. And in psychology, we know that there's brain chemistry released when we have something that's good for us. And that's called dopamine is one of the chemicals. It's kind of like a pleasure chemical. So you start to get more dopamine in your brain when you start to have these small little successes, you know, along the way, along the journey. And eventually you get to that point where you feel good about yourself and you are very close to your accomplishing your goal, whatever it might be, whether it's traveling or having even a child, raising a child or children, helping other people in charity situations, whatever it might be. And finally, and this is one I like, is taste success on a daily basis. Remind yourself of your successes, because failures, you know, can be painful and disappointing, and we can learn from them, but it's really the successes that gives us that positive feeling when we realize, I got some great things going on in my life. I'm very happy. For example, let's say we have, you know, love in your life. You've got a family or maybe your children or your animal loves you. You had a funny day today. You had some laughter with some friends. You did something good at work. But many times we have what I call the default mechanism of failure, which means we always focus on that one negative thing during the day. So let's say we wake up, we had a great breakfast, we spent time with our spouse and our kids were happy, and then we did great at work. But on the way home, there's a traffic jam and you lost your temper and you had a little road rage. Maybe you cursed someone out, or you know, you yelled at somebody and then you felt bad about it. You felt kind of angry. It can even almost ruin your whole day if you focus on that one negative thing. So what we need to do is refocus the energy on the successes. I had 9 successes today. Things went great. I'm going to focus on those more than anything else. I'm going to focus on the positives. So resume engineer, what is positive for you today? What is making you feel good?
Well, I'm working, so that makes me feel positive.
Okay. You're alive, right? You're working. Mm-hmm. You're having a colorful shirt, which is very nice.
I love colors.
Very good. So, you know, those successes. And, of course, you know, all of us go through failures. I know you've talked to me about your story in the past, overcoming shyness and social things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of us have something in our past that is maybe a failure in some ways or disappointing. But we don't have to look at it as the end of everything. It is only the beginning. Because think of it as a non-success, right? It's a stepping stone to leading us to the ultimate mission, which is, you know, being the best we can be, helping people, loving people, and leaving a legacy on earth. You know, we're only here for a little slice of time. And we have that opportunity to do greatness, to be a great person, to be a loving and helpful, compassionate person. So I hope you've learned something today valuable, that you can fail your way to success, to greatness, by learning from these things, but also focusing on the good things that you have, you know, your successes and your powers, your, what we call in Spanish, your don, which is your great talent, whatever it might be, whether it's words or working with your hands or dealing with people, you know, being a listener, whatever it is that you're good at, practice that every day. You know, get into that mindset where you can really be creative and be contributing to society in whatever you do, and you will be on your way to extraordinary success. There are no failures. There's only successful people that haven't yet been successful, or that are right there where they need to be. This has been Love University. And again, we have a great time with you guys. We really appreciate your support. We're getting more responses every day. If you want to write to us, you can write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number four, letter U, at AOL.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. And our website, where we have blogs and other interesting information, is loveuniversity.love. So summer recess is going to be coming pretty soon. We're going to be at the beach and listening to our podcast over there, and you know, with a good book and enjoying life. Until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Love University.